This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow, live from Radio Row. Radio Row. At the Georgia World Congress Center. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, day three, Radio Row here in Atlanta, Super Bowl 53. All right, so listen, if you're the Patriots, you come into your 11th Super Bowl as a franchise, your ninth with Brady and Belichick, but is there still a Patriots mystique? We saw the Patriots mystique in a number of other Super Bowls, but does it still exist today? Well, the Rams don't feel that. The Rams don't look like they show that, but when you're coming off a Super Bowl like last year where the Eagles were the, hey, everything is brand new to us, we really don't, you know, this is so neat, this is so fun, and the Patriots were the grizzled veterans. There's a and the Eagles still win the Super Bowl. There's a tendency to see, all right, you know what, there's some vulnerability here. There is, you don't necessarily have to have been here before to win the Super Bowl. I still think there is a little bit. I still think that the Patriots carry with them, at least from a standpoint of their coaching staff and what they still do, a little bit of, hey man, they are so dangerous because they do the, you know, X, Y, and Z, and Brady is, you know, releases the ball very well, and they'll beat you running the ball, they'll beat you with short passes, guys coming out of the backfield when they use Rob Gronkowski is in blocking situations, defensively, they do, whatever it is, I still think there is a mystique that they carry. But nevertheless, the Rams do not seem to be affected by that. Look, they're not tired of the Patriots. They're not tired of the Patriot questions. I think they're very comfortable in who they are. And that is a it's telling a little bit because, again, I've seen teams kind of get caught up in being at a Super Bowl for the first time. And the Rams so far, at least early in the week, don't look like this whole stage bothers them at all. And that's kind of a testament to their head coach. I think the younger you are, the more you would think that these kind of experiences would get the best of you. But there is a moxie to Sean McVay that I think comes out in the way he talks about his team. And basically, he knows this league. He knows Super Bowls. He knows the league. He knows the hype behind it. So is there a Patriot mystique still here in Atlanta? Yeah, in a way, but not as much as you would think as we get ready for Super Bowl 53. But coming up, the larger issue for the league, is this lawsuit waste of time or part of a larger conversation we need to have? That's coming up next on SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM live on Radio Row at Super Bowl 53.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. This is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us again here on SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio, live at Radio Row. Oh, man, this NFL lawsuit about the Saints-Rams game. My first initial reaction to this, because it's being reported that they're looking into certain other games that the commissioner may have, you know, had intervened in, or, you know, Paul Tagliabue, who I think intervened in a game in 2001, that's kind of being tossed around between the Jaguars and the Browns, that's being reported by Pro Football Talk. My first reaction is, oh my God, this is a waste of time. I don't want senators on the floor of Congress. I don't want them talking about this. I don't want them showing blown up pictures of this on the congressional floor. But then there's a part of me, and I think the Saints fans, and again, fan is short for fanatic, I think have massively overreacted to this. But at the same time, it's hard to convince them of that when that play, based on assumptions you make if the play is called, leading to a Super Bowl appearance, that is hard to swallow. It's very difficult when you say, all right, just let it go. Let it go means, you know, I have to accept the fact that my team's not in the Super Bowl. You never know when you're going to get an opportunity to get back. It's not guaranteed ever that you get back to a Super Bowl. So this, you know, this might have been the last best chance for the New Orleans Saints. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they're here next year. Who knows? But the reality of it is you can't just be placated with the idea that, well, next year you're one of the favorite teams in the NFC. No idea how injuries play. We have no idea how the league plays. But then I started going, okay, overblown, overreaction, lawsuit, this is silly, ridiculous, etc. But then I'm starting to think, is this a necessary conversation that we kind of need to have, whether it's with the NFL or any other sports entity, but right now on the NFL? Is this a conversation fans and the league kind of need to have a conversation, and the only way to have it is through a lawsuit, right? How many of us have been plagued by bad calls? How many times has the fixes in kind of conspiracy talk have been floating around? Now, I don't think that goes away. Don't get me wrong. I think there's always going to be a sense amongst fans who get robbed at whatever level, regular season, playoffs, Super Bowl, whatever, that there is just something about them and their team that people don't like. Right? Well, if that was the case, the Patriots wouldn't be at their 11th Super Bowl. Okay? I mean, if that was the case, if the league was really, you know, going out down the road of making sure to please a majority of fans with Super Bowl matchups or championship matchups, Patriots wouldn't be here for the 11th time and the 9th time with Brady Belichick. So I always, you know, we always dismiss those because I just think it's very, very hard to be conspiratorial. But the reality of it is, with that floating around, is this a necessary conversation that the league needs to have with us, that the league needs to have with fans and say, okay, look, maybe this didn't go the way we want. Maybe you guys obviously saw something and we see something that should have been called, that should have been corrected at the time. Here's our policy. Here's our thought process. Here's the way we view those things. And then we get to respond with, maybe you should change it. You know, and maybe a lawsuit is the only way to get this out in the open. I don't know. Because the idea of it was a call that was a mistake and it was blown and we have technology that could correct it, but we don't have rules to correct it. Okay, maybe this lawsuit opens up that dialogue. As silly as it is, and I'm not telling you that this is a worthy thing that these season ticket holders in New Orleans are doing, but I also do think it opens up more dialogue. I do think it opens up a more conversation rather than the league getting to say, it's a blown call, shut up, we're moving on. And instead, fans, at least in New Orleans, and for most people around the country that are like, man, I'm not a Saints fan, but that stunk. It kind of stinks that call tainted a good NFC championship game. It kind of stinks that call may have tainted a Super Bowl, whatever degree you think it's tainted. It's a conversation that I think fans need to have is, what can we do with technology? What can we do with the rules to fit technology, right? We have great officials. Okay, let's lay this out. We have the NFL is putting the best officials it has on the field. Okay, don't laugh, okay? But the best officials they have on the field for these championship games. Okay, there's technology now. Okay, so we know now we can see things in all sorts of different angles, right? I mean, the Julian Edelman muffed punt, that quote, and I put that in quotes because he never touched the ball, but that play really showcased how great technology we have. I mean, just the idea now that frame by frame we got to see that punt bounce wildly and Julian Edelman's arms are kind of going for the ball, but the ball never touches him. And we get to see that in sort of this massive slow motion. Whereas in 1985, if that play existed, we just would go, no, it's obvious he touched it. It's standing right there. There's no way the ball could have gone through, you know, his arms and, you know, in his hands to be free of a touch. We would have just assumed he touched it. So we have the technology. We have officials on the field that are at least the best that they have in the league. But what we don't have is sort of a policy, right? We don't have a way to sort of take those two things and create a way to utilize both of those to make sure this kind of stuff doesn't happen again. It's not a reviewable play. How many times do we hear that over and over again? And then how many times have you said, well, why not? Why isn't it? A lot of reasons is because it gets to be slippery slope. And they don't want five-hour football games, okay? They don't want the regular season game to be longer than, let's say, 4 hours. They just don't. They need to get from one game to another. You know, they want to keep it tight for television, and they also want to maximize their revenue with the ads. So they don't want everything reviewable, everything upstairs, all of that. But at the same time, fans are going, but you can't blow these games like this. You can't lose games and due to an official blowing a call with the technology, because now we see it. So go back to the Julian Edelman play, for example. Let's say there's no instant replay. Like I said earlier, there's no instant replay. There's no frame-by-frame shot. I don't even think we're talking about that. I don't think anybody who watched that in real time could honestly say, well, that ball never touched him. And I don't understand how the league could have ruled it that way. Right? It was so close, and it looked so obvious that I think that most of us would have just accepted that, when in reality, the ball never touched him. So it wasn't it wasn't going to be Chiefs' ball. But let's say it was Chiefs' ball. But with no replay, we wouldn't even be discussing it. Kansas City would be in the Super Bowl, or however it would have played out, and we wouldn't even be discussing it. Now, in the case of what happened with the New Orleans Saints, I think even in real time, you're like, oh my God, I don't even need replay to know that. But we don't have a system. We don't have a policy to take replay and officials on the field and coaches and merge it into something that makes sure we get it right all the time. Because that's the one thing we hear constantly, right? We want to make sure we get all calls correct. We're never going to get all calls correct. This is still a game judged by humans. And if you go to the videotape all the time, right? Now you're opening up a huge problem for the league, because time-wise, you can't accommodate it. You're not subtracting, you're adding, right? The replay is not going to shrink the game. It is going to make every game longer. It's another element to make game longer. So what do you do when you have a game that's longer? You have two ways to shorten it, right? You either cut the time of a quarter, right? So you know, you say, we're not playing 15-minute quarters now, we're playing 12. We're not going to ever see that. Or you cut the ad revenue. And you're not going to see that. So that's it. That's all you have. Now, oh, you know what? There's a third way. I've kind of forgot. There's a third way. You can implement, the clock doesn't stop with every incompletion unless it's the final 2 minutes. Or the clock is going to run in this capacity, however you want to do it, in terms of running the clock. That's how you can shorten the game. But they're not going to do that either. So those three things to shorten the game are never going to happen. You add replay, it makes the game longer. This is problematic. But this lawsuit, again, is an opening of a dialogue. It's at least an opening of a dialogue. So I think it's a waste of time. My gut feeling is it's a waste of time and it's silliness, right? But at the same time, I think if the NFL says, okay, here's what we can do, here's what you want, here's what we can do, let me tell you what our limitations are, and you tell us what you want, and there's a middle ground here, and maybe we come to it, and maybe we don't. I'll be interested to see what Roger Goodell says in his State of the League address coming up, because I know that's going to be topic of conversation.
I think you're absolutely right. It is. I mean, this lawsuit's not going to solve anything. I mean, there's nothing they can do. I mean, there's no way the Saints are going to be playing Sunday.
And I don't even think they get damages. I don't think there's monetary damages to this. I mean, this silly.
I mean, you know. I think the league has done everything that they can do at this point, you know, as far as acknowledging that it was a bad call, fining DRC. But, yeah, I mean, there's nothing they can do that's going to satisfy Saints fan, because Saints fan feel they got robbed. And rightly so, they did get robbed. But at the same time, we can say they got robbed, but we can always go back saying, hey, you guys got the ball on the opening drive for the overtime. You threw an interception.
Oh, yeah.
The game, I mean, you know. You guys lost the game then. I mean, yeah, that would have iced the game. That would have put you guys in a great position to just win the game and kill the clock. But you had another chance. You were given a second chance. But I think you are right in the sense that this does open up, you know, hopefully this opens up a conversation. Hopefully it opens up, you know, like we've been saying all along. It's like, why can't we, you know, they go to New York all the time for replays, you know, to second guess or really define what's going on. Why can't we just have a guy posted in the booth upstairs in an isolated room away from all the coordinators and just that's his job.
That's what I'm hoping for. The crux of the lawsuit is should Roger Goodell have come in with Rule 17 and said we're going to replay, and why didn't he? Right. So I think that would deserves an answer.
Right. Right. I don't want it to be Goodell doing it, because
that's right.
Guy's already hated.
What, again, in all the league has to say is, yeah, while this Rule 17 is implemented, there, you know, we want to, whatever procedure, however that works, you don't want to open it up that Roger Goodell is standing in front of a row of televisions every Sunday making phone calls all around, and we're replaying games constantly.
right? Like, that's just not going to work. That's not a real thought. They're not going to do that. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this because I still think it's a big topic. But we're also going to get into the Super Bowl week here in Atlanta as the cold comes in. Again, doesn't really matter because the game's indoors, but the festivities that have gone around this city. We'll continue our conversation from Radio Row here on SB Nation AM Live at Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, it's funny. I was saying earlier, though, there seems to be a looseness to the Rams that I saw Monday night. But I do wonder on game day if the "we've never been here before" actually plays out. Like, it's easy when it's media events and you get into a week and you're like, oh, this is cool. Oh, this is neat. Oh, the Super Bowl does this. Oh, I didn't know that. Or, you know, all of those things. I mean, the roster of the Rams has, like, barely any Super Bowl experience. If you combined all of the Super Bowl experience on the Rams, I think it's 5 amongst the teams. I think that's what
so
I read.
So if you combined all
week,
the Super Bowl experience, it equals, what, 1 year of Brady's life?
Right, exactly. And, you know, and obviously the Patriots know the drill. They know what to do. They know how to get their routine down. But when it comes to the game, you know, does the, oh, man, this is kind of cool. Like, do the Rams go, oh, wait, no, this is the Super Bowl. And do they tighten up? I'll be curious to see that. Because what we see this week in terms of their kind of laid back, kind of we're really enjoying this kind of feeling could also lead to tightness on game day. Who knows? How it plays out. So, nevertheless. Oh, so last night we were at the Georgia Aquarium for the media party.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, media party.
To celebrate you guys.
Yeah, like,
the hard work you're putting in.
Thanks for coming, and thanks for talking about Atlanta. Thanks for talking about all the things Atlanta. So, we go to the aquarium, and, like, I don't know if you're an aquarium guy.
I'm a huge aquarium guy.
I like aquariums. I like sea life. I'm into it. I got to tell you, man, aquariums, my first reaction when I walked into the aquarium was, what is the operating cost of this place? They have a beluga whale. Like, they have two of them. They have gigantic tanks holding these massive creatures. I mean, it's one thing to have fish. It's one thing to walk around and go, oh, look, beautiful clownfish, beautiful, you know, whatever it is, right? But it's one thing when you see this gigantic, like, whale shark swim by, and you're like, my God, what does that thing eat every single day? Right? Swimming around little fish. It better never get hungry. I mean, it's massive, man. It is massive. It is one of the best aquariums I've ever been to. Right, they had penguins and puffin fish and dolphins, and they had a dolphin theater, and they had sea lions, and they had, like, the sharks. It was incredible. There was one room, they had, like, a ballroom, and they had a band, and the band was playing, and then just this gigantic wall of fish. It was like where the ballroom was adjacent to this big, huge tank that contained fish. And every now and then this gigantic beluga whale or whatever it was would swim by and take up the whole window. It felt like Jurassic Park in a way, like these big mammoth creatures just swimming by just while we're drinking and eating food and commiserating with one another. It was amazing. Amazing. But, God, how much do aquariums cost?
You were telling me off air, too, that they had, like, different food stations.
Oh, yeah, different food stations, right? They had barbecue. They had fish tacos. Wolfgang Puck was there. It was insane.
I have a question.
Insane.
I have a question. How fresh were the fish tacos?
I didn't have any. But that's what I wanted to know. That's a great point.
You know, like,
I did make the comment, like, fish tacos in an aquarium. That seems a little rude.
That's the only first thought went through my mind. I was like, ah, you know what? That take over there is a little crowded.
Yeah, exactly. That's just it just didn't seem appropriate. I mean, to, amongst the guests and amongst the residents of the aquarium to serve fish tacos. Like, can you imagine, like, eating a fish taco and looking out the window and the other fish are just like, what? What?
I mean, it'd be like going to a farm.
Give me a break.
It'd be like going to a farm yeah. and chowing down on some steak.
Exactly. Like, this is a delicious steak, you know, Betsy. This is fantastic. Yeah, but I did have crepes for the first time. I've never had crepes in my life.
Then pancakes.
Yeah, I know. I never had them. So I stood in line. I got Nutella and bananas. It was fantastic.
See, I know crepes are supposed to be breakfast. That sounds like dessert.
Yeah, it was dessert.
And then I
actually had dessert. So I had a bunch of I had barbecue and they had brats and beer and I had that and I had you know, a number of other little tiny items. And then it was dessert time and I had the crepes first thing I had. And then I had they had ice cream, like different kinds of ice cream, and I had that with some cookies, and that was
now
delicious.
Was Atlanta's Best Donuts there?
No, Atlanta's Best Donuts was not there, but
maybe they're not the best donuts in Atlanta. Maybe they're lying to you.
Atlanta's Best Barbecue was there. That was what we were told. So, but it was great.
And Wolfgang Puck.
Yeah.
New Orleans is represented.
Yeah, exactly. But just the aquarium alone, man. Listen, if you're ever in Atlanta, it is worth the visit. It is great. It's like some aquariums are, you know, nice. This aquarium is the real deal. I mean, it's like. There are just different sections. Like, you can go see cold water fish and tropical fish and dolphins, and there's a section over here for the Arctic.
Is it one of those things where that alone could get you to go to Atlanta again?
Yeah, that and the pro football and the College Football Hall of Fame.
Have you toured that one?
There's
yet?
A lot to do. I have not gone to that one yet. I think I'm going to do that today. I'm going to try to do that this afternoon. So. My sleep schedule is all messed up here in Atlanta, but I am doing the whole "I'll sleep when I'm dead" kind of mentality because there's just so much to do.
The weekend,
so much to do.
There is just
it's so great that it because everything is within walking distance of everything you need. It's not like you have to take a shuttle to this cool attraction or take a shuttle to that cool attraction. Everything is right within walking distance of everything you want to do.
And you still have yet to try the scooter.
And I've not tried the scooter yet because you know what? I haven't downloaded the app, and I just need to do that. So, you know, maybe on the break or something, I'll just download the app. And then you got to put a credit card in, and I don't know.
Yep.
Then, this is what kept me out of Uber forever.
Cyber hacking's going to happen. All of a sudden, you're like,
I don't remember renting
a scooter last week.
See, you're giving me way too much credit. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, maybe he's a little concerned about cyber hacking. If my wife was standing next to you, she'd shake her head and go, he's just lazy. He doesn't want to get his credit card out and punch in the numbers. He's just lazy. That's why he does. That's why it took me forever to get on Uber. Because I was like, I'd get on Uber, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to set up an account. I don't want to. Nah, I'll do it later.
Exactly. Like, I'm the same way.
I got to get up and go find my wallet, and I got to get a card, and I got to put it on the card, and I got to,
Even when I order pizza online, I'll order pizza online because I don't want to call them and order it. I'll just do it online now because I don't want to talk to anyone. And I love the feature of the fact that you can just show your phone to the card and it scans it for you.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly.
I mean, if we can do all that, then, you know, obviously we can do something about non-calls in the NFL. If we have that type of technology, we can do that. Come on.
Exactly. I know. Exactly. Yeah, and coming up, we'll continue the conversation we had about the lawsuit, again, the league. What if it happened in the Super Bowl? Would people be more inclined to do it? And as I mentioned last week, that storm that's coming in for all of sports when it comes to these kind of situations with bad officiating, the legalized betting that's coming out in this country, will that escalate what we're seeing from the New Orleans Saints ticket holders? Sometimes these conversations, sometimes these things are done with a little bit of mockery from everybody. But then in the end, something good comes out, right? We kind of blow off these frivolous lawsuits, and then we realize, oh, wait, no, I'm actually get affected by that. As fans, I wonder if we're actually going to see some result from this. I doubt it. I look at this lawsuit, and I just still see frivolousness here. I still see crybaby-ish here. But at the same time, I wonder if there's an open dialogue. Again, with legalized betting coming in more and more states, these sports entities, Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, etc., they're going to have to answer for this a little more when people have money on the line. If they're going to get in bed with this new income stream, then they're going to have some explanations about the validity of their officiating, because that's a really, really big problem. Continue that conversation as we continue from Radio Row in Atlanta, SB Nation AM.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, live from Radio Row at Super Bowl 53. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver. And you got to spell Ron with two N's. All right, so Rule 17 allows the commissioner to actually replay a portion of the game due to a bad call or any circumstance. Pro Football Talk has got this story that in 2001, Jaguars and Browns were playing a game. It may not seem important, but this Paul Tagliabue did this in that game because the referee ended a game with 48 seconds remaining because there was a successful fourth and two conversion by the Jaguars. So Jacksonville ran out the clock and had a 15-10 win. And Paul Tagliabue said, you got to play out the game. So you have to play out the final 48 seconds. So they did. Now, while they point out that this is not a same kind of comparison, this is when the league stepped in to do this. So does that mean the league has to step in and do it should have done it in the Saints-Rams games? Well, yeah, I think they should have. I think Roger Goodell, if you're going to have this rule, tell me a situation. That's what I'd love to ask Roger Goodell. If you have this rule, tell me when you would use it. Tell me how you would use it. What's the point of having this if there's no reason to use it? What would you use it for? Right? If it is to close out a game, right? So basically, the Browns went for, in this game against Jacksonville, the Browns went for this fourth down. They converted it, but then a replay overruled it, and then the game ended. Right, Jacksonville took the ball over. They had a lead, and but you still have to kneel down. Fumble could have happened in the snap. You can't just end the game on assumption. So Tagliabue at the time said, can't do that. Play the 48 seconds out, even if it's two kneel downs, even if it's nothing. Okay, fine. But if you have this rule for a reason, then what would you use it for? If you have a player slam into a wide receiver before the ball is even there, and you say, you know what, I can't overrule the official. That's a bad call, but I just got to let that go. Then when would you use it? What's the point of it? That seems like the best example to step in and use that kind of situation. Yeah, you want to play out a final 10 seconds of a game, or, oh no, everybody's got to come out for the extra point, right, on a touchdown late. Okay, but if you're the commissioner, and you see something like that, and you don't enact this rule, then why have the rule in the first place? Why not just tell everybody, nope, I can't do that. The play is called on the field, and that's the way it's got to be, and that's the way it always has to be. Okay. At least we know, right? At least we're processing it. But at the same time, if you tell me that there's a way to correct this, because there's a way the commissioner could step in and do that, and you don't do that, then what are you doing? What would be the reason not to enact that rule? So I'm kind of curious with Goodell as to the reasoning for it. Again, I find the lawsuit frivolous, but I think it does open up a different kind of conversation. So look, the Saints got robbed, but teams get robbed all the time. I mean, come on. Maybe not on that degree, but I think every fan base can pinpoint some point in a season that a game that mattered to them. Winning a division, making a playoffs, having a winning season, whatever degree it is, winning a Super Bowl, could feel like there is, there was a play that could have been reversed or could have been done differently and affected their team. But let's say that happened in the Super Bowl. Man, it was close. Happened in the NFC Championship game. But it happened in the Super Bowl. How much mileage does that story get weeks after the Super Bowl? Super Bowl gets usually played, gets tidied up. We crown a champion. We talk about the game. We talk about the outcome of the game. We talk about what the game means. We give it a few more days. Then we've got to move on to different other sports and some off-season stuff for the NFL. But if that play had happened, if that play happens this weekend, it could be a month-long conversation of people figuring out how it was affected. A lot of it had to do with fans. A lot of it will have to do with betting, because when you open up this game and there's going to be 100-plus million people watching and you have an egregious call like that, it's going to be exponential than what it is now. And the NFC title game was still watched by, what, 40-something million people? And it's still got it getting traction. Imagine if that call went against the Patriots, for crying out loud. I already think Goodell has it in for him then. If that situation occurred?
You don't want to disturb that hornet's nest, right?
Oh, God. Right? But I also think legalized gambling coming in and making a bolder presence in this country. And these leagues are going to get this all the time, man. All the time. So the point of the lawsuit, I think, and again, I still think it's frivolous. But I think the point of the lawsuit is to get the NFL to come out and say what I just asked, which is, what's the point in having Rule 17 if you're not going to use it?
Right.
When would you use it if you're not going to use it here? And why didn't you use it? If you have it and you didn't use it, why? Now, I don't think there's monetary damages here. And to be honest with you, I don't even think if you bet on a game you can sue for monetary damages on this situation. Because the game has to be played within its own confine. And it can't be played based on the legal system, right? If the league said every rule by the official is the word of God, right? Every official rule is, that's it. No replay. That's the way it is. If the league said every call is reviewable by replay, that's the way it is. We can't dictate legally what the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, any of these entities, what they can do with their game. Or can we? I doubt we can.
Well, that's why I think...
Can we tell Major League... Can legalized betting force the Major League Baseball to have a computerized ball and strike system? Force Major League Baseball to do this? I doubt it. Right?
Yeah, I don't think they'd have that much info. Legalized betting... It's got to be a fine line that they separate the two, because you can definitely see one creeping into the other. And when you got these guys, with massive dollar amounts, especially say it's a Super Bowl. I mean, I don't even know what the numbers are going to be, but I imagine it'll be billions of dollars, bet on the Super Bowl this coming up this weekend. And there's got to be that fine line to say, okay, bookies, stay out of this part. Let us just run the game like we should, and whatever the outcome is, the outcome is.
That's it.
But I honestly think, the best way to solve this is just to have an isolated referee who's just watching the game from a booth. I mean, we already have it. We have, every major network that covers NFL games has a former head official on standby to break down, was that a correct call? Was that a bad call? Was this a no call? Was this, this is what he sees. So why can't we have just a fifth official, if you will, or whatever, just sitting up at a booth? And if he
that's
sees
kind of the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, and if he sees something egregious that should be called, he just radios down, and make it so I know a lot of teams, if they feel like they get away with they'll try to get away with a bad call or a no call by hurrying up and going. A referee, all he has to do is if he's looking at it, just push a button and go, hey, hold up, stop this play, replay, redo that play or whatever. I'm seeing something that just needs a second pair of eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And it's not going to happen on every call. Just there are times in the, when it's under 2 minutes, every touchdown is, now every scoring play is reviewable, right? Doesn't matter what time of the game is. Every scoring play is reviewable. There are times where they don't even need to say that. There are some plays that just shouldn't even be reviewable. And you can tell that they're not. The guy just he scored. He broke out for a 98-yard touchdown run. There was nothing wrong. Nothing happened. And those plays shouldn't be reviewable. What I'm trying to say is I don't want them to actively go and look for something like, was there a holding? Because that's going to mar everything.
That's the problem, right? That's the slippery slope the league has a problem with. You just hit the nail on the head. So let's say, for example, you have an egregious call on the field, right? And it is It is like the Saints game. All right, let's just use that example. So the Saints-Rams game, right? Blatant pass interference. But in reviewing the play, you notice that there's holding on the offense. If the idea is the game has to be officiated to perfection, calls or no calls, now you are saying, well, I need to call that, and these are now offsetting penalties. Or do you just say, no, that's the only thing I want to look at? Because what I'm worried about a lawsuit like this is the time where Tony Romo, for example, says, hey, Jim, that play should even count. And look it over here. This is a blatant offsides. And nobody called it. But we're concentrating on point A when there's penalty B. But Romo points it out and everybody goes, well, now you've got no. That's where the NFL is like, wait a minute. I can't. My head is going to spin.
And they should have almost, I would say, an unwritten rule book amongst the officials. Like, okay, guys, you know what? If you think there's something like, you know, if there might have been a holding call, you know, maybe don't call it. You know, let them play, because I guarantee in every single play there's a holding. There's a hold somewhere.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Every single
and that's
play.
And that's where we get bogged down.
But I think it should be reserved for and just have that as a safety net for those calls that are so egregious, like when NRC just lit up. I can't even remember who the Saints receiver was. When he just absolutely...
Yeah, Tommy Lee Lewis.
Tommy Lee Lewis, when he absolutely lit him up, I think then that's when a fifth official jumps in and just goes, you know what, guys, take another look at this. I'm pretty sure this is pass interference.
Right, yeah. You know, I'm pretty sure.
I'm going out on a limb here. I'm not going to step on your toes. That's why I wanted you to take a look at it, but God, it kind of looks like pass interference to me.
All right, we're live at Radio Row Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta as we continue our coverage of the NFL's biggest game. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
This is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. Modern automobiles have over 65 computers and an average price over $36,000. But I still get emails from people that go to the auto parts store to diagnose their car. Folks, why go to an auto parts store to fix your car? Most of the employees are just kids and have no tech training. If they could fix cars, they'd be out doing it and making more money. All they do is look at a $30 code reader, give you the trouble code, and some of the parts that could cause it. And would you like fries with that? I know they want to sell parts, but the parts they sell aren't original parts and they fail all the time. But people still fall for this. The same people go to the first aid aisle at Walmart when they suspect a heart attack. Come on. Please go to a shop you trust with certified technicians to get a quality repair with a warranty. Spend your money wisely. This is Mike Herzing. Let's Talk Wheels are brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com and find us on Facebook as Let's Talk Wheels.
Choose a new path this year at the Jeep Start Something New event, where you'll find great deals are just the beginning of the great adventures. Make a grand entrance in the Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever, because a brand new year means you deserve a stylish new look. And nothing looks better than confidence, which you'll find plenty of in the Jeep Compass. With over 70 standard and available safety and security features, if it's a new peak you're looking to conquer, find the SUV recognized for reaching the top in the Jeep Wrangler, awarded the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year. Or, if all you need is a getaway, start your road trip in a Jeep Cherokee with up to 31 mpg highway. But no matter where the new year leads you, start it with a great deal at the Jeep Start Something New event. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. EPA estimated 4-cylinder 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know who's getting a lot of attention here at the Super Bowl, Ron? The two male cheerleaders for the Rams.
Yes!
They are getting a lot of run. They are getting a lot of press and a lot of run. I found Napoleon Ginnies and Quentin Perron are the two male cheerleaders for the Rams.
Napoleon and Quentin.
and Napoleon and Quentin, they are the first male cheerleaders to have to ever appear at the Super Bowl. They are making history. And they were getting, like, at Super Bowl media night on Monday, they were all pictures. They were posing for pictures. Media people wanted their pictures and talking to them. They're popular people.
No, and you know what? Laugh at it if you will. But you got to think about it. If you're a straight man and you're a male cheerleader, God, you got to like the odds.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Let's face it.
Yeah. And by the way, like in college games, you see the male cheerleaders lift the girls up.
Yep.
They're very athletic. I mean, they're extremely athletic.
Yeah, they're extremely athletic.
And these two guys are amazing.
And their hands are constantly on the lady parts.
I know.
So that's why, you can hate all you want. And, you know, there's going to be people making fun of it and saying, you know what, male cheerleaders don't belong in this. It's a female-dominated world. But think about it, man. If you were given the chance to have a nice physique, just be hanging out with beautiful women 8 hours a day.
All the time. It's all the time is what they do.
And then this girl's saying, hey, you got to put your hand here. And you're like, yes, please.
Wow. You know, that's awesome.
Why not?
Well, these,
right?
Exactly. These two guys are getting a lot of run. It's been fun.
Yeah, I mean, sure, you want to be the quarterback of the star football team, but come on, male cheerleader already has the end.
Yeah, exactly. Male cheerleader already knows better than anybody. Yeah, these two guys are getting a lot of attention here at the Super Bowl. This is a really fun football circus that we're into. It's Tony D, Ron Culver. It's SB Nation AM. We're live on Radio Row for Super Bowl 53. We'll continue our analysis of the game. Patriots, the old school team, and the Rams, the new school team, and some of the angles that you should see on Sunday, especially with Tom Brady. That's coming up in Hour 2.